responsively. It's found in Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 12 to 23. We'll read responsively. Okay, I'll begin with the even verses, and congregation, please follow with the odd verses. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires." For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
We welcome Jeff Chang to the pulpit this morning. Jeff is a student at Trinity Divinity School, and Jeff is also our interns in our church. And so with expectation and with readiness, we receive God's word. And also just want to let you know that Jessica is Jeff's dear wife, and the two children, Joanna and Jason, lovely children. So let's get ourselves attention to the word of God.
Let's pray before our service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us the Bible. May your Holy Spirit be with us. May your Spirit teach us directly. May your Spirit help us to understand your word so that we can obey your word for the sake of your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The five solas, scripture are known, faith are known, grace are known, Christ are known, and glory to God alone, are the core messages of the Protestant Reformation. Today, our topic is grace are known. The issue of the grace are known is about the means of salvation. The means of salvation is whether by grace are known or by grace plus good works. In the Bible, you may be very familiar with this verse from Ephesians chapter 2. It said, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." It is very clear that the answer is by grace alone. Salvation is by grace alone. However, as you remember, several weeks ago, when Pastor Tam mentioned about the scripture unknown, what is the meaning of scripture unknown? It means the Bible is the sole authority. Therefore, we may expect in the Bible, the topic of grace unknown should be available in some of the passages among the Bible. So today we will look at in another passage in the movements. We will learn grace alone from Book of Movements, especially in chapter 6, and we will focus on the last verse 6:23 today. 6:23 in Romans is at the end of the passage just we read, the verse 12 to 23. And the 6:23 is usually quoted in the four spiritual laws of the Romans 6:23 diagram as shown. Usually, when we said the spiritual laws, the four spiritual laws mentioned that the diagram on the left hand side is the result of our sin is death. So on the left hand side we have to go to the right hand side, and the right hand side is the gift of God, is eternal life. And by passing through the middle arrow in Christ Jesus our Lord, which means we have to confess our sins and admitting Jesus as our Lord. This is the diagram of the four spiritual laws. The meaning is correct, but is that the information embedded in 6:23 has already presented to you in just this diagram? Are there any information is missing? The answer is there is some information out of this picture. When we read Romans 6:23, three pairs of opposition are found: wages versus gift, sin versus God, death versus eternal life. The opposition between death and eternal life is easily understood. The opposition is absolute, and there is no gray area in between. However, the other two pairs are usually overlooked. Also, the insertion of the phrase "in Christ Jesus our Lord" at the end of the verse seems to have its purpose, because it has made the verse unbalanced. If you cover the phrase "in Christ Jesus our Lord," you will find that the verse is very balanced. For the wages of sin is death, and then but the gift of God is eternal life. Paul seems to have a purpose to insert this faith in Christ Jesus our Lord in this verse. So when we study the verse, we may ask at least three questions. The first question is, what is the meaning of sin in 6:23? Is it just committing sin? The second question is, why is the phrase "in Christ Jesus our Lord" inserted at the end of the verse? The question number three is, why is the term "wages" select? By answering these questions, you may be able to understand more about the concept of grace alone. Let's go to the question number one. What is the meaning of sin in 6:23? We have read the passage in verse 12 to 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Here in verse 12 to 14, you can find that sin is a master. And so Paul said, sin shall no longer be your master. We can see in verse 18 and 20, you can further find that you have been set free from sin and have become slave to righteousness. When you were slave to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. Here you can find that sin is not only a master, but also an alternative to God. If you choose to be a slave to sin, you are free from God. But if you choose to be slave of God, then you are free from sin. So here you can see that sin in 6:23 is a master, is a person. So, in Romans 6, 12 to 23, sin has been described as a person. It is a personification. Sins can act as our master. According to verse 18 to 20, it is clear that there are only two masters for our selection, master sin or God. The sin in Romans 6:23 emphasizes the logic, the issue of logic, which is not shown in the diagram, 6:23 diagram. Just like that versus eternal life, being a slave of master sin represents the status that we are not under the lordship of God. There is no gray area in between. Verse 6:23, the scene asks us a question. Is God your master? Or who is your master? So master is one of the messages in 6:23. Let's go to the second question. Why is the faith in Christ Jesus our Lord inserted at the end of the verse? When we read 6:23, we can find that the faith in Christ Jesus our Lord is modifying the verb that the land eternal life, that is the gift of God. The gift of God is modified by this faith. Salvation is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But you may ask, why Paul used so many words to mention? Why don't Paul use in Christ or in Jesus or in our Lord? Why have such a long phrase? At least, we just remember the first question. The scene points to the question, who is our Lord? And here is the answer. Jesus Christ is our Lord. And so you may find that in the beginning of the passage, verse 12 to 14, it says, sin shall no longer be your master. But in verse 23, Paul said, Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the answer to the question, who is our Lord? Also, you can find that the Lord and the master in Greek share the same root. So it is an inclusive pattern, which is you can find in the beginning and also at the end. Apart from the lordship, in Christ Jesus our Lord, the whole phrase occurs twice in Romans, Book of Romans. Once in 6:23, another one occurs in 8:38-39. You may be very familiar with this verse. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we find that the same verse is modifying the love of God and the love of God and the salvation, then we may ask, is there any relationship between the love of God and salvation? Of course, Paul gives us the answer already in chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 6 to 8, you see, at just the right time when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone may possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. You will find that Paul linked the love of God and the salvation together. He said the salvation is a demonstration of God's love. So that's why when in 6:23, when he used the faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, he is reminding us the love of God is demonstrated in the salvation. If we further, and this diagram may help you to understand. In chapter 5, he mentioned about the love of God is demonstrated in the salvation. So chapter 6, in the 6:23, in Christ Jesus our Lord, is mentioned to modify the salvation. And in chapter 8, in Christ Jesus our Lord, is modifying the love of God. If we further investigate to the Romans, book of Romans, you may find the Christ Jesus and Lord, the three words, may have different combinations, but every occurrence, it links to the salvation in different ways. For example, in chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the content of the gospel. He is the content of the gospel, which is promised in the scripture, relating to Jesus Christ's resurrection and death. In the verse 7 of the chapter 1, from the Lord Jesus Christ, you can see grace and peace to you from God and of God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The three verses occur as well, but this time it's mentioned that the grace is from God and Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ is the source of grace. Chapter 5, verse 11, we can see that through Jesus Christ, we have received reconciliation. In verse 21, through Jesus Christ, we can get the eternal life. In chapter 7, verse 25, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the agent who deliver us from the sins. Deliver Paul from sin, you know. These Bible verses are printed on the logs, so you can read it at home. So let me recap. Why in Christ Jesus our Lord is used to modify the eternal life in verse 6:23, you can see the meaning is very rich. First of all, the salvation is a demonstration of God's love. Secondly, the salvation requires our admitting the Lordship of God. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the content of the gospel, which is promised in the scripture relating to his resurrection from death. Lord Jesus Christ is the source of grace. And also, through Jesus Christ, we can receive the reconciliation. He brings us the eternal life and delivers us from sin. You can see the point number 5 through Jesus Christ is what is the meaning provided by the 6:23 diagram, the four spiritual law diagram. So the four spiritual law diagram is correct, but not complete. You may miss the first four information if you just read the diagram. And so you may understand that in Christ Jesus our Lord means salvation is unique and can only be found in Christ Jesus our Lord. 6:23 emphasizes the Lordship of God, and salvation is especially associated with Jesus Christ in different ways. Let's go to the first question. Why is the term wages elect? In the Bible, there are four occurrences of the wages, these key words. In Luke, once in Luke, once in 1 Corinthians, and also 2 Corinthians, so the first, and also the Romans 6:23. In Luke chapter 3, verse 14, the pay is the same word as wages. Then some soldiers asked him, Jesus, and what should we do? Jesus replied, do not extort money and do not accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Here, the pay means the compensation earned by the soldiers. Paul used the same meaning as well in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Who serves as a soldier at his own expense is the same word as wages. who plants a vineyard and do not get eat its grapes. So you may find that both of the passages mean revert wages or the pay or expense to the compensation earned by the soldier. The third occurrence is more clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8. Paul himself said, I robbed the other churches by receiving support. Support is the wages from them so that to serve you. You is referred to the Corinthian church. So, in Paul's perspective, wages is a kind of compensation, just like your salary. Receiving the pay, compensation, or support is justified by your work. That's why Paul said he is robbing the supporter when he has not provided services to his supporter instead and provide service to the Church of Corinthians. This is a concept of earned and unearned. When we look at the opposition, the death and eternal life is opposite, the absolute. There is no gray area in between. And what we have said, master sin is an opponent to God. If you choose master sin as your master, as your Lord, you are not following God. But if you choose God, then you are not following master sin. And so, the wages and gifts is opposition, which is also absolute. Absolutely opposite to gifts. This is earned and unearned. Wages is a compensation earned by work. Gifts is a grace not earned by work. Here is an illustration. You may understand. Brothers and sisters who are working, you may earn monthly salary from your company. Salary is a payment for your work. The finance department is not your benefactor because you have fulfilled your obligation during the month, work for the company. Salary is not a grace. But when I was young, I received pocket money from my dad. The pocket money is an unearned gift. I was eligible to receive pocket money from my dad, not because of my hard working, nor because of my good behavior, but just because my relationship with my dad. He loves me, and pocket money is an unearned gift. So, I hope that you can see. Yeah, when we consolidate the information above, we find that the theme of 6:23 is grace. Grace. This is the gift. That is the gift. Grace. When we talk about grace, there should be a benefactor. Benefactor. That's why Paul mentioned about the issue of law through the word sin and also Jesus Christ our Lord. Then Jesus Christ our Lord is the benefactor. When there is a gracious act, there should be a motivation, a reason behind. And therefore, you can find Paul emphasized the love of God is the demonstrated through the salvation. This is the reason behind. The details of the salvation grace is a supplement by the faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Salvation is found in no one else but in Jesus Christ our Lord. Finally, the bottom one is the means of salvation is not by work. Salvation is by grace alone, which is pointed out by the word wages and gifts. So, when we understand that salvation is by grace alone, we have three responses at least to respond to the salvation. This is find in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6, the first one, be obedient and be faithful to God. Be obedient and faithful to God. We have read the passage, verse 12 to 14. If therefore do not be let sin reign. And also, for sin shall no longer be your master. Be obedient to God. because God is the benefactor. In verse 16, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. The verb obey means obeying to God. It is an action of accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord, as our Master. Being obedient is an uneasy task. For those who are students, if I ask you which commandment is hardest to follow, to obey, I think honoring your parents may sound the hardest and the most difficult to you. I understand, because I was a student. I was a student when I was young, and even now I am a student, so I understand. Honoring our parents is very difficult. But are we willing to obey to the word of God and honor our parents? For brothers and sisters who are working in the society, living out a Christian life is not easy, especially in the commercial world. Are you willing to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? For those who are single, are you willing to avoid sex before marriage as a submission to the Lordship of God? For those who are married, are you willing to obey God to God and be faithful to your spouse? While obeying God is a response to God's grace, please be careful that obeying to God is not a work to earn the salvation. It is not a work to earn the salvation. Obeying to God, occasionally we may be disobedient to God. Sometimes I may lose temper, actually many times I may lose temper to my parents, and I may forget to love mercy, and I may fail to live out a holy lifestyle. But thanks God, if we say sorry to our parents, they will forgive us because they love us. Because our relationship is not built up on work, not based on work. Similarly, if we repent from our sinful act, God will forgive us because God loves us. And salvation is by grace alone. Here is a special note. When we are disobedient to God, we may usually feel guilty, and then we will easily forget that the salvation is by grace alone. Some people may even judge themselves, judge their own self, and say, I'm unworthy to be a Christian. And then what he do or she do is walk away from God. Remember, salvation is by grace alone. Don't judge or blame on yourself when you fall down. Instead, repent as soon as possible, because to repent is the first step of obedience. To repent is affirming the Lordship of God. Let's go to the second response. Just receive the gift. For in chapter 5, verse 17, you can see the middle part, the verse, both receive is the verb, receive God's grace and gifts. The verb receive have two implications. Receiving the grace means implies we confess that the benefactor, our Lord, is superior to us. It is hard to admit that we are inferior. The second implication is to receive means we cannot boast on ourselves. Therefore, in chapter 5, you can find that Paul said we can only boast on God. People like boasting. We like boasting. We like to boast on ourselves. Whenever we boast on ourselves, we are actually boast on our work. However, none of our work can save us from death. So, in chapter 5, verse 10 to 11, Paul said, "We, our boasting can be in God's grace only, in what God has done for us. None of our works can save us from death. Therefore, when we are in the good times, we usually boast on our academic, our work, our job, our wealth, our health. In the good times, we may easily boast on ourselves. That means the more we boast on ourselves, the easier we may forget the important fact that salvation is by grace alone." The third response is give thanks to God. In verse 17, "But thanks be to God that through you, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your hearts the pattern of teaching that has now changed your allegiance." In Greek, thanks and grace are the same word, charis. If the charis is followed by a prepositional phrase from God, then it is a grace from God. But if the charis followed by a to God, then it is a thanks to God. So you can remember, give thanks to God is the response to grace given by God. Give thanks is the response to grace. Although we may give thanks in our daily life, but we seldom give thanks for the salvation. In the Thanksgiving Day, do you have a habit of making a Thanksgiving prayer to God? What are your Thanksgiving items in this year? Is salvation on the list? Is salvation one of your Thanksgiving items? Sometimes we may easily take salvation for granted, and sometimes we may even forget that Jesus has already given us the salvation, especially in the bad times. When we are in the hard times, when we are sick, when we miss some opportunities, like losing our job, when we lose some very valuables, like dropping our iPhone or smartphone, we may become cheerless or sad, as if we do not have any eternal life. Salvation is by grace alone. It has been given to us no matter how much money we have, no matter how unhealthy or healthy we are, no matter how low or high social status we have been. Therefore, be joyful and thankful all the time. All the time is an act of thanksgiving to God, because the grace of salvation has been with us all the time. So, as salvation is by grace alone, let's be faithful and obedient to God in every aspect of our lives. Let's receive His unearned gift with a thankful heart in every second, as long as we survive. Now, after talking about the verse 6:23, you can now realize that not only Ephesians 2 to chapter 2, 8 to 9 is pointing about the salvation is by grace alone, but also 6:23. Actually, you may find grace alone in other passages as well. At the end of this sermon, let's see what happened in 500 years ago. Remember, grace alone is found in the Bible. In early 16th century, there was a selling of indulgences, which has been regarded as a remission of the temporal punishment of sin. In 1517, people are strongly persuaded to purchase the indulgences under a sales slogan: "Once a coin into the coffers cleans a soul from purgatory springs." Purgatory is a place that Roman Catholics believe that a death of the spirits of the dead people will go to the purgatory, and there they will suffer for their evil acts before going to heaven. Therefore, the action of buying indulgences can they claim that the buying of the indulgences can save them from punishment. That means salvation is not by grace alone, but by grace buying the sales of purchase of the indulgences. Clearly, it is incorrect, because we know that Bible say that the salvation is by grace alone. In October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther posted his 95 theses to the church door and addressed what he perceived to be distortion of the Catholic teaching. It has been regarded as the kickoff of the Reformation. 500 years ago, Martin Luther studied the Bible well, and so he upheld the point that salvation is by grace alone. That's why he pointed out it is not correct. And we are benefited and encouraged by Martin Luther's action. How about 2017? Having understand that salvation is by grace alone, what should we do today? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is powerful and true. We praise you. May your name be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.